Every once in a while, not altogether that often, but every once in a while there is a subject that comes up for preaching that, well, it gives priests and deacons who preach a bit of pause, almost a temptation to hesitation, because every once in a while there are subjects that come before us that are, well, they're kind of divisive or even contentious. And so we may have the desire, again, the temptation to steer away, or rather to steer clear of them. And, of course, we really can't give into that, because in order for us to get to heaven, we've got to, you know, teach the fullness of the truth. That's our job. And usually that's pretty easy, because, you know, the fullness, or rather the truth in its fullness in and of itself is something that's immensely attractive. So normally if it's presented in a clear way, it kind of just draws folks. But every once in a while it gets difficult. So today I'd like to start with a piece of scripture that actually doesn't come from our readings, and then get to our gospel. I'd like to start with St. Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 13, when he says that line that most of us probably know pretty well, when he says that, even if I speak with human and angelic tongues but have not love, I am like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And I start there because, of course, this should always be our motivation for preaching, but especially today, you know, love is to want what's best for another. And if it's true that the preacher loves those to whom he preaches, then he must want what's best for them. And what's best is the fullness of the truth. So I just want to start there today. No sarcasm, no accusation, none of that. Just to be aware that we're going to cover something that we don't all agree on. So, and that something is something wonderful, and that something is marriage. Now, it's incredibly significant. It's wonderful, in fact, that our Lord begins his public ministry, begins his public life at a wedding. He could have just started out by teaching about marriage, which he would do plenty later on. But he didn't. He started out in person. And even though we don't know the name of this couple who was at the wedding, even though they've been lost to history, we can be absolutely certain that our Lord knew who they were and took an active interest in their lives. And just by his presence there, we can say a couple of things. First, our Lord is interested undoubtedly in marriage as a whole. Second, this is actually pretty exciting. Our Lord is interested in individual marriages. So if you're married, that means he's interested in yours. That's pretty good news. Let's first talk about marriage in general. There are a few subjects in our entire nation today that are as divisive as this one, for whatever reason. You can't barely turn on the TV or open the newspaper and not be bombarded with different opinions coming from every side. And you know what? Some of us may say, Father, I am not absolutely certain what it is that I believe about marriage and how it should stand in the law and so on and so forth. Remember that struggle to believe is important. What we have to do, and we're constantly bombarded from all sides, is we have to weigh what the world says and what our Lord says. That can be hard, but we've got to do it honestly. You know, the world says that marriage is just a contract between two people. People that can enter into freely and exit freely whenever they wish and however often. Our Lord says something greater. Our Lord says that a marriage is about sacramental consent between two adults until death, whereby two adults, by living their vows, may one day get to eternal life. The world says that marriage should be convenient, that predominantly marriage should be easy. Our Lord says something greater. Our Lord acknowledges the fact that there's sacrifice in marriage. There's compromise all throughout marriage. There's a demand of chastity in marriage. But what does he say? He says the intimacy that will come from that, my word, will exceed almost anything. The world says that children are kind of indifferent to marriage. If you want to have them, great. If you don't, fine, whatever. Our Lord says something greater. Our Lord says that the ability to have children is the singular ability in human existence to share in his creative power. So respected that it's respected by the sacrament. The world says that, you know, the number of children is, well, that'll be pretty small. And the Lord says something greater. The Lord says that in planning for children, what is paramount is trust in him. And that by trusting in him, a husband and wife together, putting their trust in the Lord, and accepting the gifts of children as they come with some reasonability. But again, what will come from that is joy and wonder. The world says even further that we can prevent children altogether. Prevent them through, you know, real grave things like abortion, or contraception, or sterilization of men or women. Again, our Lord says something greater. Our Lord says that the gift of children is His and His alone. And it's for us to participate in and not for us to command. The world says that physical intimacy need not always be confined to marriage. You know? All you got to do is turn on the TV or turn on the internet and see that. What does our Lord say? Again, something greater. Our Lord says that in marriage, that if a husband and a wife can work and work and work at intimacy, what they will find is that the intimacy at the end of their life ought to make the intimacy in the beginning of their life pale in comparison. Always, everywhere, what our Lord has to say about marriage, since He's the one that created it, since He's the one that gave it order, is something greater than the world has to say. Above all, it is the means for a husband and a wife to get to heaven. And everything that goes on in marriage ought to be directed towards that end. And so it's important for us, whether we're married or not. At the same time, our Lord is interested if you're married in your particular marriage. And you as husband and you as wife. Great news. And the image that we get from this gospel is, well, it's appropriate. The wine runs out. If you've been married for longer than maybe a few weeks, maybe a few months, you probably have a certain understanding of what that's like. Not in every way. But you know what it's like, that the joy and the ease that come with marriage sometimes ebb and flow. Couples have been married long enough to say, Father, we've fallen in and out of love several times. It's important that we recall in those moments when the level's a little low. The marriage isn't about two people, but it's about three. It's about the husband and the wife and Almighty God. And the only way that your marriage is going to have joy until the end, or rather, the only way your marriage is going to have the kind of joy and intimacy that it could have until the end is to involve Him. And in those moments when it gets difficult, because it's gonna, to go to Him and say, okay, Lord, we need You. This is a sacrament. We trust in You. We trust there's grace coming from this. And we need some help. To pray together as husband and wife. To be intimate in every way possible and intimate before the Lord. Say, Lord, this is where we're at. This is where we're at. And this is what we need. Why? Because by doing so, we build up treasures in heaven. Why? Because by doing so, we may know each other forever in heaven. And that's a pretty good motivation. Amen.